This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon. What's up? Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. This program is produced, as always, by Mr. Michael Cohen, and what a program we have forthcoming. We will catch you up on your news and notes, items trickling out here on kind of the first real day of week number one outside of the holiday. So we'll take a look around the league at things like Gabe Davis re-signing with the Buffalo Bills or being brought back into the fold. And we're going to pick up on the Tuesday schedule in season now with our guy, Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data, who every Tuesday he is in the data mining room early in the week. Very hard to do a lot of research like on a Monday or a Tuesday. It usually takes a number of days, but he's here and he has got a bunch of actionable data points relating to week one in the National Football League. And we also have that special guest that we teased and one of the busiest men on the planet, but happens to be a friend of mine for 20 plus years. Mr. Adam Schefter will be joining the show at 1:30 Eastern. And then we will take a look at very early look at your Thursday night football props. Boy, these lines are tight. So I've been going through and comparing and contrasting. I do have some thoughts, but initial thought is these puppies are tight. Normally, I do really well early in the season. So hopefully this is not really a bad sign that the books are like right in lockstep with yours truly. Normally, we're a little ahead of them. So we shall see. But my first glance at the Thursday propage, it is pretty darn tight. Real quick before we move on, I did want to, before I forget, and I don't want to take up any time during the segment with Adam Schefter, but I did want to give a quick story. So like I said, I've known him for over 20 years. Way back in the day, two plus decades ago, Adam was working out in Denver for the Denver Post, covering the Denver Broncos. This is how I know him. So I reached out to him. I was, I guess, one of the first ones in the fantasy world to appreciate and understand the beat writer world and the information that they could provide us to help us win, basically. I mean, they're at all these practices. They're covering these teams. So 23 years ago or so, I started reaching out to beat writers. That's how I met Adam. But Adam was my Broncos insider for a couple of years. And one week, I think it was in 03, Clinton Portis, who was a stud, who was, I believe at the time, the reigning rookie of the year. I think it was 04 maybe. He was very iffy to play. Nobody knew if he was playing. It was a late game. And it was back then, a lot of leagues, you had to submit your lineup one Eastern, lock it in, late games and all, Monday night games and all. So people were worried about Portis. Well, I sent Shefty an email. I'm like, Adam, what do you have here? Is Clinton Portis going to play? Nobody knows. He's like, he's playing. I'm like, done. Bumped him up the rankings, sent out an email. Don't worry, Clinton Portis is playing. And oh, did he play? 34 carries, 170 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. And the rest is history, quite frankly, for Clinton Portis, Adam Schefter, and yours truly. Well, we'll get into the news and the notes here at the top of the program. Again, Schefter at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to ask him a bunch of fantasy questions that are kind of veiled to get really good information. It's like, what would Adam do, basically, bring up a bunch of scenarios. But anywho, Adam, in fact, is the person who reported this Gabe Davis news for ESPN, of course. Bills have re-signed him, and it didn't work out very well in Jacksonville, but now he's back in Buffalo. They're probably going to, you know, stash him on the practice squad, but it kind of underscores, and maybe he doesn't see the field, but let's not forget, and I will admit, I have fallen for Gabe Davis. I've kind of pumped up Gabe Davis a number of years. Now, it hasn't been that bad. It wasn't that bad, but it's annoying. It really is annoying. But this, because he's boom or bust. You don't start him against man-heavy teams, by the way. You consider him against zone. He's a zone beater, not really a man beater. but you know, he does have talent and he does have a 4-touchdown game in the playoffs on his resume, if you will, his resume. And I think it does kind of underscore another capable body in the mix for the Bills. It's funny because I'm not in hard on anyone in the passing game for the Bills. It's a shame. I'd like to like Dalton Kincaid, but he's not been that great. And I just wonder about Joe Brady utilizing a tight end. There's something going on there. Injuries have been a little bit of a problem, but Khalil Shakir, who by the way is back at practice this week, he's been dealing with that high ankle sprain. He's been out for like a month. I loved him last year. Not that into him. I do like Josh Palmer as a late pick, but there's another guy, some limitations. In fact, they could rotate Josh Palmer and Gabe Davis, because if they're playing a zone heavy team, roll with Gabe Davis because he crushes zone and doesn't beat man. They're playing a man heavy team, start Josh Palmer because he crushes man. That's why they signed him. But it is not that great against zone. So I guess they're maybe filling in the gaps. Oh, by the way, Keon Coleman is still here, who is also a man beater guy like Josh Palmer. So, I mean, they've certainly got guys who can beat everything, but they've got a lot of guys. Shakir, Coleman, Palmer. Let's not forget about Elijah Moore. They still actually have Curtis Samuel. They also have a tight end too in Dawson Knox, who's good. Good red zone threat. I know that he's pretty tight with Josh Allen. So it's great for Josh Allen. It's great for the Bills. I do think they're going to make the Super Bowl this year. That is my pick. Buffalo, Minnesota in the somebody's got to win game. But I just don't think we're looking great here at receiver for the Bills because, again, they're spreading the ball around. Another item coming down the line here, or other items coming down the line here as we catch you up on all the morning headlines. Jackson Dart will start the regular season as the Giants' number two quarterback. That is no surprise. Matt Stafford expected to start week one as the Rams take on the Texans on Sunday afternoon at 4:30. Rams are 2.5-point favorites, but I do not know about this offense in LA. The LA offense with Stafford getting limited reps against, I think the Texans have the best pass defense in football. They have an outstanding secondary and one of the best pass rushes in the league. And, you know, their head coach knows what's up. He knows what's up when it comes to defense. Micah Parsons, I believe Schefter reported this as well, may need an injection in his back to play in week one. I saw the word epidural, which always reminds me of pregnancy. But I'm sure Micah Parsons... not expecting. We are expecting him to play. Packers are 2.5 favorites. Najee Harris cleared for contact after that weird 4th of July eye injury is down there in Brazil. Sometimes you get a little bit of an advantage when you have a major travel situation. You're like, well, at least he's traveling with the team. I'm sure he is going to travel with the team. We got a little tidbit here on a guy that has actually been quiet all summer, but I love him. It's Brian Thomas Jr. He did talk about his chemistry with Trevor Lawrence and talked about how it improved, but it was a kind of a weirdly quiet summer for Brian Thomas Jr. Maybe they're just not like just keeping up a wrap, you know, keeping it underground a little bit, and then they unleash him in week one with like 14 targets. I did hear some good things, and we all did, I think, about Parker Washington Jr. And Dyami Brown, I think, is going to be a factor there as well. One of the many reasons why I'm not that into Travis Hunter. We had Quentin Johnston out of the concussion protocol. That was a nasty hit. Unfortunately for Quentin Johnston, on that very play, he did kind of show that he's still not that great at catching a football, which per sources, I'm told that's very important for his job. So never been into Quentin Johnston. It's like, I remember the rookie year. Like, I get it. I mean, the guy looks like a freak, but, you know, got to catch a football for that job, and he's not that great at it. Darnell Mooney's pretty good, but he's still listed as day-to-day. Like, we're not totally out of the woods with one Darnell Mooney. He did have that shoulder injury that is a little bit of a concern since he didn't get much time at all with Michael Penix. They are perilously thin, though, at receiver in Atlanta. once you get past Drake London. I mean, are we really counting on Kyle Pitts as like Ray McLeod and that's it? So one of the reasons why I do, in fact, love Darnell Mooney. We'll talk with Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points Data on the other side. Hang tight for that. He's got some actionable data points pulled from the Fantasy Points Data Suite, helping us win in week number one. But first, the wait is over. College football has kicked off and the NFL season begins this week. Now's the time to lock in your edge with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up today and you'll get both the NFL and college football betting guides, your playbook for the entire season. And that's just the start. You'll also receive daily best bets from our experts, DraftKings and Circa Betting Splits, updated in real time, of course, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, which I was checking out yesterday. Man, it looks good. The show looks good on that Watch app. Advanced analytics and betting tools at VSiN.com. Get started for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. And if you just can't wait to know which players we're going to talk about in the next segment with Stephen O'Rourke, I'll spill the beans now. Some actionable data on Brian Thomas Jr., James Conner, Justin Herbert, Georgie Kittle, and Skinny Batman, a.k.a. Devonta Smith. That is coming at you next on this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. Hang tight.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with this Tuesday's edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. We go right to the progressive guest line as promised. Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst at fantasypoints.com, is on the X machine at Call Me Steve-O. I can't believe 7 days has already passed since last week's spot, Steve, and you're back ready to rock for week one. I'm sure you rested up just a little bit. So let's get right into it, quite frankly. And one of my favorite picks this year is Brian Thomas Jr., and you've got some actionable data here with the matchup against Carolina, some single high coverage. What do you see here data-wise with Brian Thomas Jr.?
Yeah, Brian Thomas Jr. is one of my favorite picks this year. He's actually he's been my dark horse pick to lead the league in receiving yards. And I think it starts off with a bang week one. They get to go against Jacksonville, goes against Carolina. They ran the fourth most single high coverage last year. And they struggled to get pressure, and I don't really see that changing this year. When Trevor Lawrence wasn't facing pressure against single high, he pushed the ball down the field. He had an 8 out of 9.9. Brian Thomas Jr. had a 25.6% target share against single high coverage last year, averaged 2.88 yards per route run. He was top 25 in separation against single high coverage. J.C. Horn doesn't really shadow guys. His line is sitting right around 71.5. I think that he gets the ball early and often, and I think it's just like week one he takes off and it just doesn't stop, because I think he's going to be one of the best receivers in the NFL this year.
Totally agree. Yesterday I picked him as a dark horse. I think it was 35-1 to win offensive player of the year. So that's,
yeah, I like
right
that
there in lockstep. Yeah, because you know quarterbacks, they get the MVP, so they don't right. get offensive player of the year, at least not lately. I mean, it has happened, but it's somewhat rare. James Conner, someone that I did rank right at his ADP, because I'm not dumb, because he's going to get the ball. It's a great running game, but I am an ageist, but so I didn't draft him. But, you know, he should do very well this week against New Orleans. Obviously, that's a great matchup, but might it be even better than the average person knows?
Yeah, I mean, right now his rushing line sitting at about like 68.5, which I think is amazing. I think that's such an easy hammer, because New Orleans didn't defend against the run well last year. James Conner ran a lot of man gap concept runs. He averaged 4.93 yards per carry on those man gap runs, which was one of the top in the NFL. And New Orleans gave up 4.7 yards per carry on man gap runs in 2024 and a 55.8% success rate, which is fourth worst in the NFL. All that coupled with, I just don't think New Orleans offense is going to be that good. I think it lends to Arizona taking the lead pretty easily and later in the game using James Conner to kind of put the game away. So I think that he sees a lot of touches. He's going to be able to get yards, and I just think he'll be able to hammer over that 68-yard that line.
We've got a pretty good total, and we're talking with Stephen O'Rourke, senior film analyst, and all the charting over at Fantasy Points Data on the X Machine at Call Me Steve. Oh, we do have a pretty good total for LA KC. And one thing about Justin Herbert that I'm fascinated by, and I'm a little scared because I wasn't like really into Herbert, but you know, he does play for Greg Roman. He does have a skill set similar to Josh Allen. I mean, why can't Justin Herbert run for over 500 yards with five plus touchdowns on the ground, considering the big body? And you have something data related that could mean that Justin Herbert runs a little bit, even in week one, right out of the gate.
Yeah. I mean, especially since, you know, the loss of Rashawn Slater, I think it was, that got hurt. And so that's going to lend to pressure happening a decent amount against Kansas City. And towards the back half of the year, I've talked about it quite a bit. Justin Herbert liked to use his legs a little bit more. Kansas City likes to go into too high coverage, especially against like a big arm quarterback like Herbert. And Herbert had the seventh most scramble yards against too high coverage last year. His line's at like 14 and a half yards right now for rushing yards. KC gave up 374 yards on scrambles last year, so they were susceptible to it. It was third most in the NFL. I think Herbert gets involved in the run game. I think that they try and, you know, keep it close and really pound the rock and try to wear down their the Kansas City defense. And I just think that Herbert can be such an extension to that run game. And he's got the physical assets to do it. And he showed, like I said, he showed in the back half of the year that when he's healthy, he moves really well. He did it a lot at Oregon. The first couple of years in LA, he didn't really do it as much. And I think Roman coming in kind of has helped him to, you know, lean on that a little bit more.
KC also, they're more man heavy than most teams traditionally. And, you know, maybe in this game too, they man up and, you know, make them execute in week number one. Let's move on to George Kittle. Unbelievable, just ageless. I don't want to curse him because I am always cognizant of older dudes, but he is still playing at an elite level, and target share won't be a problem. I mean, that dude, I couldn't believe it. He averaged like, what was it, 73 yards a game last year? I mean, that is absurd. Talk about this matchup here. Seattle was, I remember just from last year, they were vulnerable to inline targets. What do you see here with Kittle this week?
Yeah, that's, I mean, especially what's going on with San Francisco's offense and the lack of receiving talent right now. I mean, there's Pearsall, and we're still waiting to hear what's going to go on with Juwan Jennings. But staple that's going to be there is George Kittle. And, you know, I even kind of quietly, it feels like last year he you know, crushed both the single high and coverage. I think he was top 12 in the NFL in yards per route run against both. And Seattle gave up like almost 9 yards an attempt to inline targets, which is where a lot of George Kittle's targets come from, is inline. His receiving's at 61.5. I just think that George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey are going to kind of be the focal points of that offense. I think that Seattle is susceptible over the middle. I don't really love their linebackers. I think that it's going to be a lot of, you know, inside out offense, using a lot of Kittle and getting the ball to him pretty often to help move that ball through the air. His line's at 61.5 right now. I think that he could crush that. I expect him to hit 70s, 80s, just because I think he will see a lot of target volume, especially early in the season as they kind of figure out what to do to replace, you know, still not having Ayuk, Jennings, not even doing anything in camp. Pearsall still needs to show a little bit more oomph in the game. I think he, you know, he had a couple good games at the end of last year, but I still think there's some question marks there, and it just lends to George Kittle really being the focal point inside and out.
You're not a Pearsall hater, though. I mean, come on, he's a favorite of mine. Like you do think Ricky's good, right?
I think he's going to progress as the years go, as the year goes on, that he's going to have a lot on his plate, having to be that like number one receiver, really, especially, I mean, you know, with Jennings kind of being in and out, but I like him. I'm interested to see how he does separation wise and especially where they line him up. Cause I think he did really well out of the slot last year. So I'd love to see him get more slot, a little bit more routes this year, but I think that it'll progress well, but it might be a little bit of a tough start to the year for him.
All right. And then last but not least, playing on Thursday, Devontae Smith, AKA Skinny Batman, did well against Dallas last year. You know, they've shuffled some things around. No more Jordan Lewis. I think Deron Bland playing inside a little bit. We don't know about Trayvon Diggs, but what do you have on Devontae for Thursday night?
Yeah. They are moving Deron Bland into the nickel spot, which is a little bit of a switch up for him. He had traditionally been really primarily out on the left side for Dallas. And I just think Devonta Smith, he crushed Dallas last year. He averaged like almost 3 yards a route per route run against Dallas. He averaged 67.5 yards per across both games last year against Dallas. And I just think that, you know, a lot of teams try to, you know, do their best to stop AJ Brown. And I think it lends to Devonta Smith working well out of that. And then when he does bump outside, he is really good outside. I mean, he was top five in separation when lined up out wide. His runs at 54.5 yards. I think that he is probably the guy that Hurts looks to, especially because Hurts isn't going to be under a lot of pressure. I think Dallas is going to stroke quarterback. Yeah. I think Dallas's linebacking group isn't the greatest. And just Deron Bland getting thrown into the nickel, it's a completely different game from the nickel. I like Deron Bland, but having to go up against Devonta Smith right away is a tough ask. And I just think that Devonta Smith will see a lot of targets and probably break over that 54.5 yards pretty easily.
Great stuff, Steven. Everyone, once again, on the X machine at CallMeSteve07. Good luck with all the plays. We'll talk to you next week for week number two. Adam Schefter will join us on the other side. But first, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is updated and ready for week number one. Inside the NFL Betting Guide 2.0, you'll find post-preseason team updates, proven betting systems, contest strategies, and host best bets for opening weekend and beyond. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to see what subscription works best for you. $9.99 for your first 30 days. Schefter, next tier on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. A Tuesday edition of Prop Points rolls on here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. Without any further ado, one of the busiest men on the planet right now is Mr. Adam Schefter, ESPN Senior NFL Insider and host of the Adam Schefter Podcast. One of the greatest podcasts ever dropped about 3 weeks ago because I was in it. He is on the X machine at Adam Schefter. Hello, Adam. How are you, sir? Thanks for the time.
Hello, John. Nice to be with you. Always nice to be with you. And at this time of the year where people, if they haven't drafted already, are getting ready for their fantasy drafts, like my friend Jim Cramer right now is losing his mind, not over the price of anyone's stock today, not if the market's down 500. Jim's got his draft tonight. I got two drafts tomorrow night. I may just tweet out it. 5:55 tomorrow night. Do not disturb for the next 5 hours.
Not to name drop, but I actually am also very good friends with Jim Cramer. I've got to reach out to Jimmy and offer my support. But either one of you guys, whatever you need, I'll just sit on my couch all night and just wait for your text. But let's get into some NFL and fantasy related news. When you and I chop it up, I try not to, you know, force you into that NFL insider mode. But I am curious, because you're still drafting. We had a bunch of high-end guys who are not going to play week one and early in the season. Joe Mixon, Jordan Addison, Brandon Ayuk, of course, Rashee Rice, which you correctly called on the podcast that I did with you 3 weeks ago, Chris Godwin. Are you buying the dip on any of those dudes, or are you just like, I think I'm good?
Well, I think that the dip is baked into their value, right? You wouldn't take them high up, but if they're sitting there at the right spot, I got no issue with some of those guys. Like, you know, Rashee Rice's ADP is, what is it, 60 now, John?
Yeah, it's about 60.
And Addison's, I'm going to guess, about 85, 90. I mean, give me the ADPs of these guys. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Godwin is like probably 120 now. Rice, 65. Addison, about 85, 90. Ayuk is like 120 plus. Mixon, who knows? His ADP might be infinity at this point. Adam, I think people are very scared of Joey Mixon.
I think they should be. Like, we have not heard anybody say he's expected back. Like, you could take a flyer and be waiting on him. I don't know. And maybe you'll be rewarded for it. But typically, running backs who have a lot of wear and tear in their careers and have foot injuries, ankle injuries, that's a tough one. So we'll see about that. Brandon Ayuk makes me a little nervous, you know, when he's back.
Yeah.
That one. You know, listen, he's a great player when he's healthy, but he had major damage on his knee last year. And so to think that he's going to come back as Brandon Ayuk this season, I don't know how realistic that is. I think he can be back and can contribute. But to think that he's going to be at a lot, I'm not expecting that from him this season.
Yeah. You know, I actually heard, Adam, that the Juwan Jennings thing was really, you know, he was just upset. Miffed about, you know, the contract. Maybe he was holding in. I see he's back practicing this week. Juwan Jennings, I mean, he is really good. You know me, I love Ricky Pearsall, but Jennings is really good.
Really good. And I think obviously that was related to his contract. I actually think he did have a calf injury, and I think he had a contract issue.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's back right now, look, John, these things get done when they have to get done. Like, if we go back to last week alone, we saw Terry McLaurin sign, we saw Trey Hendrickson sign, and we saw Micah Parsons sign.
Yep.
Why? Because it was 2 weeks out of the opener. Yeah, you got to make it happen, right? And so Juwan Jennings is on a similar timeline. If he gets to Sunday and there's no deal, I think that's problematic, and I'd be worried if I drafted and rostered him. But I think if you're a Juwan Jennings person where you've got him on your team, I think you're hopeful that they have a breakthrough at some point this week, get it done, and that you're holding somebody who's going to be a contributing wide receiver this year.
Chopping it up with our guy, Adam Schefter, of course, of ESPN, the Adam Schefter podcast. He's ubiquitous. You'll see him all over the place the next 5 months. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great time to be alive. I got to ask you about Travis Hunter because, you know, I do try to predict guys who disappoint. Why? Because it happens all the time. I'm not one of these people like, oh, I love everybody. I'm not that into Travis Hunter. So your thoughts on Hunter this year as a fantasy pick around 65 overall. Are you in, out, indifferent? Where are you?
You know, the guy is an unbelievable talent. And there are going to be times that they use him a lot on offense, but there are going to be times that they might not. And I think his ADP right now is about 50, 55, I'm guessing.
60, 65, 55. Yeah, in that range. That's up there.
So in that range, you're taking him ahead. In that range, you're taking him ahead of Jalen Waddle, George Pickens, Matthew Golden. There's some other good receivers right in that range. I'm sure you could, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, and Travis Hunter has that kind
of ability.
Calvin Ridley, another one, right? So I'm just taking a look right now in that range. Yeah. Calvin Ridley, Emeka Ebuka, Roma Dunze.
I don't see it.
Like,
I don't see it.
I don't either. I'm not doing that. Now, I'm sure there are going to be games where I see it and I go, oh,
exactly.
He is some player. He is some. But are we getting steady 16, 17, 18 point weeks out of him? Yeah, I want to see that first before I believe.
We're on the same page. Absolutely. Are you eyeballing anyone in terms of the trade marketplace? I mean, we already had one with Brian Robinson. We have, you know, we know the names of people who are, you know, somewhat shaky ground. Breece Hall, maybe, you know, Jacoby Myers, Rashad White. I mean, it's been pretty active with the trade. Seems like that's going to continue this year.
The Raiders don't want to deal Jacoby Myers. So, again, let's see how the season goes, but that's not something they're looking to do. Rashad White, I have not heard that name. although the Bucs have a lot of running backs. I will point out to you that they like Sean Tucker, and they like the undrafted rookie that made the team, Josh Williams, too. So they're kind of deep at running back. And in fact, I've wondered that. I really like Bucky Irving, but they like so many running backs that I wonder if that cuts into Bucky's value at all, as opposed to Josh Jacobs or somebody like that, right? I'm curious about that. Like, I watched Bucky Irving last year. I'm like, this guy's spectacular. But I think Tampa really wants to run the ball. I think they got a lot of guys there, too. Now, Bucky's the best of them. But is there going to be work for Rashad White and for Sean Tucker and for Joshua? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I think Rashad is a great receiver, great hands, all that. He is also in the final year of his rookie deal, so you know maybe they don't have much plans for him, and they can get something for him. A couple of more here for our guy, Adam Schefter. Thanks again for giving us 10, 12 minutes of your life. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Did you draft, or are you planning on, of course, your big drafts are still to come. Are you planning on drafting any Rams? That is a veiled question asking about your confidence in Matthew Stafford.
I'm in a 12-team league, and I'm a 16-team league. I don't think Matthew Stafford is going to get drafted in a 12-team league. In a 16-team league, if I was stuck at the quarterback position, would I take him? Yeah, I would take him. Yeah. Like, do I think he's going to be one of the first 12 quarterback pick? No. So if you're asking me that from a health standpoint, I think he's going to be out there Sunday. I think he's going to play. He has the chance to have some really good numbers. But, you know, they love to run the ball so much in the red zone that also compromises his fantasy value. Like, how many touchdowns did Kyron Williams score last year? How many might Blake Corum score this year? But Matthew Stafford, do I think he's going to play on Sunday? Yeah. Do I think he's going to be out there for most of their game? I'm reasonably confident as much as his back has been an issue. You take an injection on Sunday, and the guy's proven warrior anyway, and you get through it.
Yeah. I know you're tight with Denver. I told the great story about the Clinton Portis call from 20 years ago. I'm still not over it. Like, you crushed that information. So you're dialed in with Denver. John, I like RJ Harvey. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, before you bring up Clinton Portis, that was a fun one. I had Alvin Kamara as rookie year. I told all my friends that one. I had Kyron Williams. There are certain running backs. I was a year early on Kyron. I stuck with him, was rewarded for it. There are certain running backs that you just could kind of feel they're coming.
RJ Harvey, I know Sean Payton likes him. The only thing is, I just wonder, it might be a little slow out of the gate, but any thoughts on there? I mean, there's a big opportunity. I don't know about as great as Kamara, but it's somewhat comparable to the Kamara situation back in 2017.
I think it is comparable. I think that if you remember that year, Kamara finally broke through in week 4 or 5 when the Saints were playing in London. I remember it distinctly because he was on my teams. And I told a bunch of people that drafted him, and I think he scored 2 touchdowns in London, if my memory serves me correct, in his rookie year, which I'm going to guess was 7, 8, 9 years ago. And he was awesome from there. I think Denver's plans going into the season are, we got J.K. Dobbins, we got R.J. Harvey, we got Jaleel McLaughlin. There's going to be work for all. Now, I think with RJ,
we
got to
run. Adam, sorry. I'm so sorry, Adam. We actually have to cut it off here. My bad. Adam Schefter, everybody. Props for week number 1 Thursday next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you're better than the experts? Well, prove it in the Edge Boost Average Joe contest, the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational with the pros. The top average Joe earns a spot in next year's 25 Pro Circa Invitational field. It is free to play, and you can register anytime during the season to be eligible for weekly and quarterly prizes. Plus, each week, the highest score gets a $500 Edge Boost deposit. And if the weekly winner already has an Edge Boost account, that prize is boosted to $1,000. Make sure you're eligible. Sign up at edgeboost.bet with the promo code VSiN. Enter the contest today at VSiN.com/Joe. And welcome back to the final segment on a very busy Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Excellent spot there with my guy, Adam Schefter. I mean, it's just, we need to find time, invent time. I don't know. Can we add another 30, 40 seconds to a minute? That would help. But we did run out of time. But man, what a great segment there with a lot of great insight by Adam Schefter. Well, we do have football on Thursday. We are starting to kind of home in on it all. I'm not ready to make official plays or picks, but I do have some indicators and we'll get into it here. Let's take a look, very early look at our propage for Thursday night football on, well, Thursday, two days, basically, and some change. All right, well, Dak Prescott, we're at 248.5, and I already went ahead and looked. We are, where the hell are we? Really, really close to that prop. Like I said, these numbers are very, very tight. Jalen Hurts as well, incredibly tight to that number. So I don't think we're looking into any of the propage for the quarterbacks passing the ball. Very, very tight. I think we're like 3 yards away from Hurts. You know, we're 2 yards over Hurts's prop and like 2 yards over Dak's prop. So that's a little scary in that the markets, if you will, are already pretty tight. The numbers are pretty good. Moving on to receiving props, we do have some discrepancies here, like CeeDee Lamb. 71.5 is the number. We are projecting 81.5, 9.5 targets. I mean, there are road dogs are the Cowboys. So we're 14% higher on CeeDee Lamb. We might look at that. A.J. Brown, probably not going to look at this one because he's at 71.5. We're actually under that. Now, we're still tweaking. We could tweak it over the 71.5 because we're at 67.3 right now, which is actually 6% under the prop. So we're not going to go there. How about Skinny Batman? We talked about him, 55.5 at minus 114. I mean, that's certainly doable. We're at 4.3 catches for 61.3. So I don't know what that is, 12, 13% difference, not too shabby. Here's a good one, though. Dallas Goedert, if we're looking for discrepancies, which we are, 36.5, 3.5 receptions. Now, we do have him for exactly 3.5 receptions, so we're not going to touch that one. But we are 16% over on Dallas Goedert at 3.5. The other player who did intrigue me in this game, right out of the gate, Jake Ferguson. We are projecting 5.9 targets, 4.5 grabs for 36. And the numbers are close. Actually, it's really close, 35.5, but 3.5. So the number's 3.5. So I would lean toward the over on both. Philly, they do have an injury at linebacker, which could be problematic. We'll see about that. But Bond and, you know, the rookie, they're not great against tight ends. They weren't that great last year. They were giving up a lot of touchdowns. I remember specifically being really, really, really into a Patty Freiermuth touchdown prop against Philly late in the season, and he scored. And it was easy, too. It was like an easy red zone thing. Jake Ferguson, I'll monitor the practice reports all week because durability, that name is not Jake Ferguson. But I do like him healthy a lot in this game. Saquon Barkley, you know, it's interesting. The Cowboys might look to sell out to stop Barkley, as the Kansas City Chiefs did in the Super Bowl, which I was all over that. I was under the yardage and over his receiving for that Super Bowl, somewhat controversially, but that did hit. I'm not going to bother with it, but it's doable here at 13.5. Another one that's interesting is Javonte Williams. I mean, come on here, 12.5 yards receiving. He is likely their hurry up back, their third down back. He's their number one back. We're not putting Jaden Blue out there, the rookie. And we're certainly not putting Miles Sanders out there because he's not any good. I remember, I believe we won a prop on Dotson in the Super Bowl. I think it was like 7 yards. And I think he got a, like, was it like first play? I love that. We actually did win a prop for him on the first play in the season. It was like a Thursday game. It was like 7 yards. He was like, you know, first play of the game, throw to Dotson for 8. Nailed it. I love that. But I don't know. We'll see if I officially go in on Dotson over 7.5 yards. And then rushing prop wise, big number for Barkley, 95.5. We are projecting over that, though. 18.3 carries for 100.8 yards, FYI. That is 5.5% higher. And the Javonte prop is just pathetic. 38.5 rushing yards. We're at 39.5. So I don't think that's a great opportunity. One other, though, is Jalen Hurts. By the way, Dak Prescott, we are not projecting him to run much. He hasn't been running that much. Maybe he'll have to a lot when he's throwing it a lot, which he probably should on Thursday. But 7.5 rushing yards, I mean, that's low. That is low. But the one that did intrigue me was Jalen Hurts at 36.5. We are at 8 carries for 45 yards for Jalen Hurts. But I can tell you right now, doesn't help that these offenses don't have a lot of ancillary weapons that consistently contribute. So it's all kind of condensed to like 6 receivers, basically. So maybe that's part of it. But these numbers are pretty darn tight. The last thing we have here, the last thing that I've prepared, is a best bet. And this is one of those alternative total props, which I really do like those. You know, so let's pop it out here. It's brought to you by GBank. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cash back reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3-5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSiN.com/GBank. And I do like those alternative total props. And I was eyeballing it to find a pretty good, nice ROI bet. And I've got one here for Mr. Jake Ferguson, the tight end of the Dallas Cowboys. And one thing I didn't have a chance to actually go through, but I want to do it kind of now, is the numbers against the Cowboys. Because I think he's going to be busy and active. Now, I remember late last year, he was banged up and I didn't go there. And he only had 3 for 18. So that's not great. He also only had 4 for 24. But last year, I think, was a little bit of a throwaway year here for Jake Ferguson. I do think that they are vulnerable at tight end. So I do like this one. They're going to have to throw it a lot. I think Dak is throwing it 40 plus times. So how about Jake Ferguson over 50 yards or more at +179? I think that's got, at the very least, 50-50 chance of popping here. And that's a pretty good return, pretty good ROI. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off with Prop Points. It is Money Moves at 2 p.m. with Stormy Bonatani and Jonathan Von Tobel. Today, they'll be joined by John Meconecchi. I think I got that wrong. I'm sure I got it very wrong. From RotoWire to break down their best bets for week one. That is a wrapperoni. Tomorrow, we'll have Brent Whitefield of FantasyPoints.com, wide receiver corner, matchups and data, and hardcore film study for week one. Until then, enjoy your evening. This has been Prop Points on VSiN. We'll catch you mañana.